Welcome to First Baptist Church. We are pleased you are joining us for worship this morning. We invite you to light a candle at your own home as a reminder that Christ is with us wherever we are gathered.
Please join me for the call to worship. I will tell of your name to my siblings and lead them in praise.
You did not despise the afflicted, nor turn a deaf ear when they cried to you.
All the ends of the earth shall turn to you, O God. All families shall worship the Lord.
We will tell of your deeps to those who follow and proclaim your deliverance to all.
Let us worship God.
Wandering from the fold of God, he too daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's to heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
If able, please text your message someone from the congregation and share with them the sign of peace.
From Psalms. Okay. From Psalms 122, a song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. To it the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For there the thrones for judgment were set up, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
There we go. Hello, everybody. Children, it is time for your special part of the service, and we have an exclusive interview today with Gloria the chicken. So let's see what she has to say to us. So Gloria, how are you doing today?
Burk, 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 burk.
Thank you, thank you. So I was wondering, what is it like to be a mother hen? What's that like? Okay. So is it easy to get your chicks to come together? Do they listen to you well? Like, tell me more about what it's like to try to get them all together. Wow, thank you. I thought that I knew chicken pretty well. I didn't quite get everything that she said, but, you know, there was a lot of emotion in her voice, and it sounds like it can be hard to be a mother hen. And so Jesus once talked about being a mother hen, and he said, "Many times I have wanted to gather your people together. I have wanted to be like a hen who gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me." So just as a mother hen gathers up her chickens, I spent some time watching some chicken videos this week, and it's pretty amazing how chickens take all their chicks and they find a way to put it under them, and then you can't even see the chicks anymore. You just look at the picture and there's a whole bunch of little chicken feet and they're protecting them. And so Jesus wants us, he wants to protect us. He wants to love us and to take care of us. But sometimes we don't let him. Sometimes we start wandering off on our own, and Jesus wants to protect us, but sometimes it's hard and he gets frustrated that we don't come to him. But Jesus will always be there for us. Jesus is always ready to come and protect us and to hold us in his love. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you that you love us and are always trying to protect us and bring us into you and your love. Please bless our week and help us have a good one. Amen. Concerns. We have praises that Chad Johnston's dad is continuing to improve and has been moved from the hospital to a rehab center. We also would like to lift up the local churches, national and international, to remember that it's not just us, but the body of Christ is much bigger. So we lift up Cornerstone Baptist Church here in Lawrence, the Reverend Brian Johnson and the churches in Michigan, and then Stacy and Tim Reese serving in the Dominican Republic.
Please join me in the unison discipline of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not been sincere Christians. We claim to follow Jesus, but have not taken his path of sacrificial love. We profess to be disciples, but we are not willing to bear the cost of discipleship. We affirm the virtue of self-denial, but we indulge our selfish desires and seek earthly gain. Forgive us, we pray, and free us for sincere repentance. hear the good news. God deems as righteous all who trust that Jesus has been raised from the dead for our salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Now let us pray. O God, who gathers us and holds us close, come near us once again, for too often we stray and do not hear your voice calling our names. Too often we are blind or choose not to see and act against the injustices surrounding us. Forgive us, Lord, and have mercy. Hold and comfort the suffering in your arms so they may feel your love and warmth. Care for the vulnerable and the brokenhearted that they may find strength. And guide those feeling lost and alone. Stretch out your hand and lead them back into your presence. We also lift up to you those named before and those we name in silence now. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing our prayers, for always calling out to us, even if we do not respond the first, second, or third time. We do not hear you and listen, yet you continue to be faithful. Help us to become more faithful followers as we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hello, my name is Leon McCoy. I am Scoutmaster for Troop 60, and the Assistant Scoutmaster for 6060, which is the young ladies. We greatly appreciate your time for letting us be here today. Scouts have worked hard this year. It's been kind of a very odd year for us with not being able to meet at times, and we have struggled through it just like the kids have, but we are always grateful to have a place to meet. We ended up doing our own summer camp this year. The Scouts earned almost over 100 merit badges during camp. We did do one Eagle Scout project this year, but we have four others that are going to be in process this year. The big thing for us this year is this is 2021 is the 100th year anniversary for this troop being chartered with this organization. The first weekend of August, we are planning to have a celebration with the church and with the community. We're not exactly sure what that's going to look like yet, but we are in the planning stages, so look for details, because details will be coming shortly. As always, we appreciate everything. It is very, very generous of the church to let us stay here and do what we do. For all the young ladies and the men.
Every scout knows the scout law, which teaches us to be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. I think several of these values could apply to being a good steward. One could strive to be a cheerful giver, be obedient to God's word, be thrifty with our resources, and be reverent. The gifts we give of our time, talents, and offering all goes to help others. You may give by using the link on your screen. Thank you.
Let us give thanks to God for the resources we have. May this offering bless the many that will receive it. Amen.
I invite you now to hear these words. I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to start at the beginning of the chapter, verses 1 through 9, and then skip toward the end, verses 31 to 35. Hear now these words. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. He said, "A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, 'See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?' He replied, 'Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it, put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.' At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' He said to them, 'Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord."'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Tender hand in your image. gifts we fully claim. We can hear you gently saying, do not worry, do not fear, for I'll always go beside you.
Well, I'm going to let you in on a bit of a secret today. Sometimes preaching is just fun. It's just fun to be up here and to stand and to say words that are trying to connect to the world around us and the scriptures that we read together. Last week was fun. It was fun because it was a couple of my favorite scripture passages to read about the Good Samaritan, to read about the Mary and Martha. It was fun because I let my inner sci-fi geek out a little bit, right? Just a little shades of Quantum Leap and shades of Star Trek and a little WandaVision in there, right? And it was just fun to be able to explore those passages in that way. Well, I'll tell you what, this week, well, this week is different. This set of passages I read just a few moments ago, well, I don't know if you can call them fun. I don't know if you can name these passages and even what they have to do with our lives as a simple, easy task. There's a lot going on here, and the reality is that as Jesus speaks these words and teaches his disciples, they're hard teachings. They're hard teachings for them to hear and for us to hear as well. Maybe not so fun, but important words nonetheless. Part of the reason that I use the lectionary, the narrative lectionary this season in the church is because I know what it does is it pushes me to use scripture passages that I might not preach on otherwise. And my guess is you've probably never heard these three passages, these three teachings of Jesus preached together in a sermon. I know you haven't heard it from me, yet here we go. What's going on here in this passage? What is Jesus up to? There's three separate teachings. The first one is a teaching that talks about a couple of groups of victims, people who have been victimized. The first group is a group that somehow has been attacked, killed by Pilate, the Roman governor, and they have died. And then another group of people have suffered some kind of accident. A tower has fallen on them. And Jesus teaches then about these tragedies. The second one is a parable of teaching, as Jesus is wont to do. It's a parable of the fig tree. And so it's a story about a fig tree that doesn't bear fruit, a man who says, get rid of it, and a gardener who has a different message. And then a third passage here at the end of the chapter, a passage about Jesus speaking to Jerusalem, talking about Herod, and somehow chickens are involved. So all of this together makes for an interesting kind of soup of teachings of what Jesus is teaching us today. As they're wont to do, the two-way folks spoke incredible words of wisdom into this. I asked them, well, what do all these things have in common? And I think they wisely answered, repentance. You hear Jesus use these words to repent a couple times in that first teaching. You hear it implied in these other passages, these other teachings that he gives. So repentance is kind of this theme, to change, to do something different, to walk away from a one way of living, to walk toward another way of living. But it's repentance in a different way that sometimes we're used to hearing. When we read about repentance in these three stories, it seems to be that Jesus is talking about repentance that is communal. Repentance that is broader than just you and me and individuals. It's instead this idea of repenting in communal ways. For example, you'll see there in that first section, he talks specifically about repentance in a way that kind of changes people's ideas about it. They came to him assuming, thinking that these people who died in these tragedies, that it was somehow their fault, right? That they were being punished, that they hadn't repented enough. But notice what Jesus does. He uses the word, no, you all need to repent. Do you think that these were worse sinners than all of you all? No. It's a kind of a communal understanding of how we repent. And then he does the same thing later at the end of the chapter when he talks about Jerusalem. He speaks to the entire city of Jerusalem, saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how is it that you continue to not accept, to reject the prophets, to stone those who come from God? Communal understanding, which, by the way, isn't the first time that he has done this. If you flip back a few pages to chapter 10, you'll find that Jesus did this same thing just a couple chapters earlier. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than it will be for you. And you, Capernaum, are you to be called exalted to heaven? No, you'll be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Again, this communal idea of repentance. Not just a single person, but an entire community gets named again and again. The word here that's implied is the southern y'all. Or more specifically, all y'all. If you go to the south, that's what how you talk to people in plural, right? It's all y'all. That's what Jesus is saying. All y'all need to repent. This is not just one person, not John the Jerusalemite, not Betty from Bethsaida. No, this is all y'all that need to repent. This is a word of calling to repentance in pretty significant and powerful ways. And it's ways that the prophets have done since the beginning of Old Testament prophecy. You'll see them naming again and again that when something is broken, it's the responsibility of the entire community to repent from it. The prophets will speak of the fact that the whenever injustice occurs, whenever there's brokenness in a community, whenever there's a victim, it's the responsibility of the entire community. It's all y'all's responsibility to take a look at what's going on. Howard Thurman, 70 years ago, kind of a precursor to the civil rights movement, named that. He said that there's a brokenness when somebody hates another person, when there's hatred in a community toward one race, toward one gender, toward one kind of person. The hatred poisons both the hated and the hater. It's a poison that destroys the entire community. And just like the Old Testament prophets, now Jesus is saying the same thing. No. This is going to come to an end. That as you bring injustice into your community, as you bring it into your city, as you bring it into your nation, as you don't care about the least of these, it is necessarily and violently going to come to an end. All y'all need to repent. One word for this kind of repentance is lament. It's actually the word that's often associated with Jesus' words here about Jerusalem. Mitzi Smith, who is a commentator who writes about this passage, names this idea of lament for us. Now she says this, collective lament is an appropriate and necessary response of a people or nation burdened with a history of social injustice. of poverty, of oppression, of murder, and the privileging of lies over truth that bleed into its presence. Lament is slow to come, she writes, especially when masses of people have been convinced that the violence is necessary, or when the perpetrators are convinced that they are doing God's will and acting in the best interest of the nation. This was true of Jerusalem. This was true of Bethsaida, of Chorazin. Woe to each of you. One might ask today, is it true of Lawrence? I was on a couple of Zoom calls last week that suggested absolutely it is. There is an injustice that occurs even here in our own community. The first Zoom call I was on was kind of the middle of the week with somebody from United Way, and United Way has started to kind of look at some of the statistics, some of the realities of our own community, of our own county, what's going on here in Douglas County and here in Lawrence, and they have found some disturbing statistics. They have found that 11% of white children are at or below the poverty line. 11% of children are living in poverty. That is, children who are white. If you look at the numbers for black and indigenous children, the number is worse. 70% of black and indigenous children are living at or below the poverty line here in Lawrence, here in Douglas County. If statistics don't show that something's wrong here, then how about stories? Later on, I spent another hour or so on a Zoom call with several African-American pastors as they told stories about how they minister to their congregations, and they match up. Children in their congregations, young people in their congregations, families in their congregations, suffering from the effects of poverty, suffering from the effects of injustice. Woe to Lawrence. Woe to all y'all. All of us. All. As they name these things, the rest of the argument, both of them said the same thing. The rest of the argument is that part of the frustration in Lawrence is that we think that we don't have injustice. No. We're too progressive for that. We don't have injustice here. That's a Johnson County problem. That's a Kansas City problem. That's a Western Kansas problem. Oh, no, we don't have injustice here. 70%. All y'all. The next day I went on a run. Drove over to the east side of town to the Burroughs Trail, and as I parked my car, I pulled up my phone and I tried to figure out where do I need to turn around on the trail to come back and get my mileage in. And I found a spot that was the right distance away. It was actually kind of the corner of Haskell University. There's a little cemetery there, and I'd seen it before, and so I knew to look for it, and so I laced on my shoes and took off. As I got close to that cemetery and got ready to turn around, though, something happened. As I say, I'd been to that cemetery before, several times actually before, on different runs and different visitations. It's a cemetery that actually houses many Haskell students. Students who died, for the most part, when Haskell was a boarding school. A school in which white people took Indian children away from their families and brought them, tried to denativize them, in their words. Many of them died from diseases that they were not prepared to face. Children, teenagers. One that struck me, and always does, was a six-month-old baby. And there was this moment as I ran get ready to turn around, as it were, in which I just said, I'm sorry. And I said it again and again and again. I just said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like now there were tears in my eyes, and I had to stop running for a minute so I wouldn't run off the sidewalk, and just felt overwhelmed. Here I stood on the land of the Kickapoo and the Osage, the Kaw and the Aseti Sakowin. Here I stood on their land where people who look like me took children from their homes and brought them to this place, and they died. I gathered myself and ran back toward the car, and on the way I thought, what just happened? What happened in that moment? It surprised me, and it shocked me that I was overcome by that emotion. After all, I said, I didn't do any of that. I wasn't there. That's back in the 1800s. That wasn't me. That wasn't anything that I made a decision about. That's a long, long time ago, and it wasn't anything that I had to do with. Why would I be upset? Why would I need to say I'm sorry? And a thought came to my mind. And the thought was All Saints Day. You know All Saints Day, a day that we stand here in November, the first part of November, and we stand and we say thank you to those upon whose shoulders we stand, people who have brought us the faith for generations after generations after generations, and they have come and they have shared the faith with the next generation, and that then becomes the faith that we have received from our own pastors and Sunday school teachers. But how many people that we say thank you to we have never met before? We don't know the reformers that we talk about. We don't know these original Baptists who did some amazing things. We don't know them. We've never met them before. And so the question that came to mind was, if we can stand here in Christian worship and say thank you to those upon whose shoulders we stand, can we not say, as a part of Christian worship, I'm sorry to those upon whose graves we stand? And can we not ask, what am I doing today that calls for more graves to be dug? That is a Jesus question. And that points at all y'all, all of us, to say, I'm sorry, to lament the brokenness in this world. But Jesus asks more questions. Jesus has more answers. Jesus, the teacher, continues to bring more words to these students trying to learn what this law of love that he speaks about is all about. And so here in this passage, we begin to see a different set of images as well. Christina and Gloria did a great job kind of speaking to the first passage that is meaningful, even though it's a little bit odd, right? Here's this story of a mother hen protecting her chicks, protecting her brood. Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, even though I hurt for you, I want to protect you. I want to care for you. Even though there is a need for repentance, there's a need for care, of love, of grace. Do you know how much I love you? That is the Jesus question. And that's the question he asks of those in Jerusalem. Understanding that the two go hand in hand. Yes, there is a need to repent. And why is there a need to repent? Because there are people who are hurting. There are children who are dying. Yes, there is a need to repent. because it's destroying you. This life of injustice, these communities of injustice, this nation full of injustice is destroying my children, and I just wish I could put my arms around them. Jesus, the teacher, announces. And yet there's another word as well, this word from the fig tree parable. There's a lot of fig tree parables in the Gospels, perhaps you've noticed. And each one is just a little bit different, has a different idea of it. I'm interested in Luke's version here, because here's the fig tree that will not produce figs, will not produce fruit. And here is the man saying, tear it out, it's time to throw out this fig tree, it's useless to me. But here Luke offers the words of Jesus to say a third character in the parable shows up. It's the gardener. The gardener who says, well, why don't we give it one more shot? Why don't we give it another year? Why don't we, I'll do a little bit more work. I'll do a little more caring. I'll do a little bit more nurturing. I'll put some manure on it, and we'll see what happens next year. Now, we don't always know what Jesus is talking about, what Jesus means when he talks about his parables, who stands for who, right? But I have an idea, so I'm going to give my interpretation. I think the man in the story who says, throw out the fig tree, perhaps is the march of time. In the same way that Thurman said, the society that is unjust will fall in upon itself, will destroy itself, and it's inevitable and it's violent, and every empire in the world has fallen to this. Here it comes. Pull it out of the ground and throw it out. But then the gardener shows up. The gardener who says, I want to give it one more chance. Can we give him one more chance? I'll bring a word of nurture. I'll bring a word of support. I'll bring some grace to the situation. And we'll see what happens. Of course, in my mind, that gardener is Jesus, who just like the mother hen, wants to come and wants to nurture and wants to care for those children in the midst. Care for those who are hurting and suffering from injustice. That's what the gardener does. That's what the gardener does for us, even though it looks like we are lost causes. Jesus says, let me give him one more chance. Let's see what we can do with him. And Jesus brings a word of hope to us as well. It's the word that you read as the quote at the beginning of the service from James Cone. He says, the gospel of Jesus is not a rational concept to be explained in a theory of salvation, but a story about God's presence and Jesus' solidarity with the oppressed, which led to his death on the cross. What is redemptive is the faith that God snatches victory out of defeat, life out of death, and hope out of despair. That's what the mother hen does. That's what the gardener does, is bring hope out of despair. And that is the work that we are called to be a part of. Yes, we are called to lament, but we are called to lament in a way that invites action as well. That's what I heard also on these Zoom calls this last week. Words of action, words of hope out of despair. These black pastors who are trying their best, working their hardest to care for their families, to help to change the injustice that they see around them. They are doing Jesus' work. They are caring for their congregations. They're speaking words of prophetic wisdom to those who would hear. And the United Way is doing the same thing. They're doing work in which they see these numbers, they see these statistics, and they see, how can we help? And so their goal has been to say, well, our job is to bring children out of poverty. They say, if we can bring black and indigenous children out of poverty, if we can restructure the systems, if we can rebuild the community to say, this is not right, how can we bring these people out of it? and it brings the rest of us with it. Does that mean they only care about black children? No. Does that mean they only care about children? No. Does that mean they don't care about anybody else that's not that specific population? Of course not. But they know if they bring them up, the rest of us come too. Just like Thurman said 70 years ago, it brings a word of restoration to us all. It brings a word of hope out of despair. And so that's the word that I hope you hear tonight as we move into a season in which here in Lent, here in the time of preparing us for Easter, where we're asking the question, how might we repent? The word is that it comes alongside of the word of grace. For we have a God who loves us deeply. We have a God who knows every name of every one of those children who suffers. Jesus knows his brood, and with wings of grace gathers around them. He knows the name of every child who suffers in Lawrence and Douglas County. He knows the name of every child who died in that boarding school terror. He knows the name of every single one of 500,000 deaths from COVID-19 in the United States, and every family member who grieves their death. He knows the name of every single one of you, all of you, in the struggle that you face, to know indeed that you have a mother hen that cares for you, that reaches her arms over you, that protects you through the storm. That word, that's the word I hope you hear today. May we all have hope out of despair. May we all be nurtured by the loving gardener. May we all feel the arms, the wings of love that surround us today. Let us pray. Mother hen, God who nurtures, God who calls for justice, God who loves. Remind us again of your love in visceral and real ways. May we feel those arms, may we feel them on our shoulders, those arms of love and tender care. As you wrap them around us to show us your love for us and every single one of your children. May we all know the love of Jesus around us, protecting us, gathering us. May we all know the love that never ends. In your name we pray. Amen. Perhaps you're invited this season to make a commitment. Perhaps it's a commitment to justice. Perhaps it's a commitment to service. Perhaps it's a commitment to join this congregation, to say that you want to become a part of First Baptist here in Lawrence as we do our work together, whatever your response would be. Maybe even to follow into the waters of baptism, our Lord and Savior. Whatever your response would be, there's an opportunity on the chat to respond, and you're invited. Come.
My shepherd fills supply my need just.
like a child at home. Well, you are invited to continue to do ministry together in these coming days. I want to say a word of thanks to Troop 60. It's always great on Scout Sunday to see a troop of the folks that are out on our parking lot doing cleaning out tents and running around in the gym. That's usually where I see you guys. But to see you all here in this worship service, leading us in worship, is always a blessing. As we celebrate 100 years later on this summer, it will truly be a moment to rejoice. Thank you, Troop 60. Thanks to Jim Lord. Thanks to our tech team. Thanks to the Troop 60 leaders, all who made this possible today. We have, again, a second week of Reshape coming up this evening at 6:30. Plan to be a part of the Zoom call as we enter into a small group discussion and really have a lot to say about what is God doing with us here at First Baptist. Also here, our earthwork stuff continues. There have been a couple walks in these last couple weekends. There's an agape meal coming up on the 13th of March, so you'll see ways to sign up for that. It'll be a virtual agape meal, so plan to be a part of that. Also, let me show you a picture. Here they are. This is Melissa Murrell and Aiden and Caitlin Lumpkin. Now, you'll remember this family. These guys were a part of our church for many years, and then Melissa went to become on staff at First Baptist in Topeka for a while. Well, she has now moved back to working full-time here in Lawrence, which means that they can come back to church here with us. And so they have made the decision that they would like to come. Melissa never changed her membership, so she remains a member. And then Aiden and Caitlin were baptized there in Topeka, and so now are transferring their membership here to Lawrence and would like to come down and join. If we could, we'd bring them down the aisle and we'd have them stand right here. One day we will, and one day we'll celebrate that. But for now, celebrate them on the chat. Say a word of welcome to them. They're participating in the live stream this morning, and so say a word of welcome that you are glad that they are here. If you're thankful for their presence, if you're ready for them to become a part of our congregation, give them a word of welcome and a word of amen. These are some of the ways that we continue to be church together in these days. Here now, benediction from Lydia Johnson.
Scout meetings are often ended with a short benediction reminding us of the past, present, and future of scouting, and serves as a reminder of the great Scout Master to be with us until we meet again. In the same spirit, we depart this service today with similar words. May God be with us until we meet again. Thank you.